We're talking Blues hockey. It's the Joey Vitale Report on 101 ESPN. Brought to you by The Electrical Connection. When you need quality electrical work for your home or business, visit electricalconnection.org.
It's a Fast Lane brought to you by The Rizzuto Show here on 101 ESPN. Brad Thompson, Anthony Stalter, and let's hit the Brown and Crouppen Celebrity Line, where Joey Vitale was on the call last night alongside Chris Kerber for the Blues win over the Kraken. We'll find him right now. What's up, Joey?
Stalter, what's going on? It's Friday. What are you talking about these days?
It's great, man. You got snow coming in. You got the ice right on the driveway. You doing the ice this year?
No, my wife completely gassed that. Yeah, that was a bad deal last year. I said I wanted to put a little bit of an ice sheet on our driveway. It's three cars wide. It's not very long. It's just a very wide one. So I was like, I'm gonna take up two lanes. And she's like, all right. We started building on my carpenter buddy, and I was like, gosh darn, it seems like a lot of work, and the ice isn't all that big. Let's stretch it. He's like, are you sure? I was like, yeah. He goes, you should ask your wife. I go, okay, I'll come right back. I totally made up the phone call. I was like holding the phone up to my ear. Yeah, honey, it's okay. I literally came back to my buddy and said, yeah, she's cool with it. And we just did it, and it was a bad idea. It was just bad. She was pregnant. She was like 7 months pregnant.
Oh, no.
And at one point, she went total Cousin Eddie on me in South County style and literally pulled the car up on the lawn and just parked on the grass for like a month straight during that hard freeze. So,
I don't blame her. Yeah.
Well, the neighbors wouldn't complain because their kids are probably playing out on your ice, so you're good there at least.
Yeah, that's the good thing, right. I kind of opened it up to everybody, and so it became cool, a cool little thing. There's some guy out, I think, in Frontenac who actually got a compressor. He's actually pumped Freon. They got all kinds of these outdoor rinks nowadays. You can keep it anything frozen, basically under 50 degrees, which is kind of cool. So that's a whole other conversation I have to have with her.
An actual conversation this time. Joey, the Blues have been comeback kids this year. BT and I have been talking about it throughout the course of the show. So right now they lead the league in comeback victories with 13 after last night's 2-1 victory over the Kraken. Obviously they fell behind 1-0 after the first two periods. They're 6-2-1 when they've trailed after 20 minutes this year. They're the only team above 500 when trailing after the first period. I'm sure it's just one of those kind of goofy stats, but what has led to the Blues' ability, especially when they've been so depleted, to come back in games that they've lost, that they've been losing in?
We talked to Robert Thomas about it right after the game last night, and I actually put him on the spot. I said, give me one word. Like, the last two games especially, Dallas and Seattle, third period, you're down by a goal, not much happening from an offensive standpoint. What's one word that could kind of sum up this group? And, he used the word relentless. I think it's a great word. I would even take it maybe a step further. In order to be relentless, I think you have to be one word, which is calm. I think it's a very calm group. I think Craig Berube has grown as a coach so much where he is so patient, especially with the younger guys, whether they're turning the pucks over, maybe not doing the best thing all the time. So he's calm on the bench. He's not freaking out. And to me, that's where it all starts there. I remember when Sidney Crosby came into the league in his first few years, I remember being at camp and he was on the bench and he was freaking out and breaking sticks and, at the referee and going crazy, right? And we've all been there, guys. Like, you're on a bench and that's your leader. And when you see your leader kind of freaking out, well, what do? You kind of grip your stick a little bit tighter too. I've been on bench with coaches who are losing their mind at the referees. You get kind of tight. You get kind of tense, right? So I think it starts with the coach. He's been very calm all season long. When I'm calling the games, something I've learned from Darren Pang, as soon as I see a turnover on the ice, boom, I go right to the coach. I look right at Craig Berube, I look right at the assistants, I look for body language, are the hands on the hips, are they crossed, is his face getting red, what's going on? And lately this whole year, Kyrou turns a puck over, a nasty one, right in his own zone. I look right at Chief, nothing. Whether Jordan Kyrou or Robert Thomas or Pavel Buchnevich, another turnover, I look right at the coach, nothing. So to me, he's had a very calm demeanor, and I think that that's where it all starts. And then you got to go right to the leadership core from there. And to me, it all starts with Ryan O'Reilly, Colton Parayko on the back end. Those two guys alone have such a very calm presence about them where I think that the rest of the team just kind of feels it on the bench. They have this great willingness to just stick with it because of the calm leadership that's around them. No one's freaking out. No one's extra tense. No one's gripping the stick too tight late. No one's thinking, oh, my gosh, we're running out of time. It's just never that. It's always like, our goaltenders are playing great. They've kept us in a great position to win this game. We got about 6 minutes to go. Let's go over there and keep playing the way we're playing in a calm way. And eventually one's going to crack, and certainly over the last two games, that was a story.
The crazy thing, too, Joe, as you know, it's been calmness in chaos. The roster is never the same, game in and game out. Booch gets the game winner, and then all of a sudden he finds himself in the COVID protocols today. So when you see Craig Berube and his staff piecing all these different things together, how are they making that work? Because I would think that personnel-wise, when guys are in and out, it's very hard to build continuity. It's very hard to like know where the guy next to you is going to be when that guy is not next to you the next game or wasn't there the game before. So how is he making that work?
Well, I think it starts with kung fu, and then it starts with kung fu training, of course, and then it comes to the culture. I'm going to start with the kung fu training. You brought up a good point. You brought up a really good point there, BT. Calmness and chaos, right? That's something that Ryan O'Reilly was talking about him as a leader. I got to know his dad pretty well. And, you know, one of the things he constantly is training with in the off season is that calmness and the chaos. You see him on the balance beam. He does all kinds of crazy stuff where he's being pushed to the limit. But you got to control your breathing. And once you control your breathing, then you can control the chaos. So calmness through chaos. So it's really starts with the training. You know, we all love those kung fu videos. You ever watch a video on YouTube of two fighters going at it, kung fu? It's not just a martial arts. It's not just physical. There's a mental capacity behind kung fu and part of the training where you look at the fighters' faces and they look so calm. Meanwhile, their hands and their limbs are swinging around and doing 360s and coming at the jaws, right? So the idea of kung fu, not only from a physical standpoint, is a mental capacity where you have to remain calm and you got to control your breathing throughout this kind of chaotic state. You know, there was a great stat about Ryan O'Reilly in particular. I remember a couple of years ago, I dug a little deep on it. He had the most goals, most points, most assists, most everything in the third period compared to every other period. And that's when guys start to lose a little bit. The shortness of breath, right? You get exhausted at the end of the game, less oxygen to the brain. All kinds of things start to stir up in the third period. And that's where the training, in order to be calm through kind of some chaotic situations, to me, that's where it all begins. And then to answer your question about, you know, players coming up and just making an impact right away, you know, since the Blues won the Cup, there's a culture that's been created here. I mean, you cannot deny that. You know, before the Blues win the Cup, it was a bit sporadic, I would say. It was in, it was out. But you go to Pittsburgh, you look at the Chicago Blackhawks throughout their era, look at the Boston Bruins, look at the Red Sox, heck, look at the St. Louis Cardinals. You know, it's the same thing. When you win and you're a winner and you have guys on the team that have won, you start to create a culture. And I think that when you call players up, they're not just going out there individually doing what they got to do to stay in the lineup. The mindset switches to this is the culture of the team, and I just can't wait to be a part of it. Where can I fit into this big picture? Because this is a really cool group and a really good family, and I just want to be a part of it. So I think to answer your question, that to me is what it always comes down to.
Joey Vitale, join us right now on the Fast Lane, brought to you by the Rizzuto Show here on 101 ESPN. Jordan Kyrou makes his first All-Star game. Joey, for BT and I, We know the kid's playing well. We know the kid looks good. But for you, you've got an actual critical eye on this. When you watched him last year compared to now, what's the biggest difference?
He's not afraid to make a mistake. That's just it. I mean, even to his rookie season. And I think part of this is coaching. You know, his rookie season, the second year he comes in, you know, he's a creative kid. He's fast. He can make moves. You know, he's one of those YouTubers where he watches YouTube and he just wants to do fancy stuff, okay? So Craig Berube comes from Philadelphia.
Kung Fu?
Yeah, kung fu-ish, right? He's kung fu-ish. Craig Berube comes from Philadelphia, the Broad Street Bullies. That's the culture there. And he comes here, and players like Jordan Kyrou absolutely drove him absolutely bonkers. Like, he wanted to drive him through a wall if he had one more turnover. So what happened? You know, Jordan Kyrou comes in, comes up, starts making mistakes. What does Craig Berube do? He kind of sits him on the bench. A couple more mistakes. You're up watching the next game in the Raptors. And that's kind of how it was to me for the first year. So I think it was a combination of Jordan at some point just kind of was afraid to make mistakes. He kind of changed his game to kind of cater to the coach. And then now you look at his game, he's not afraid to make mistakes because he knows his coach has got his back. I talked to Craig Berube, he's going a few weeks. You know, you have to be easy on these kids nowadays. And he's really evolved as a coach because he said, for every mistake and bad turnover he has, he's going to make about three or four really good plays. So when he makes a bad one, you just got to kind of lean off, like lay off a little bit and just kind of let there be a cushion between you and him and just kind of let it breathe a little bit because you know he's going to go out there and make more plays. And to me, guys, that is what every player wants. That's what every player wants out of a coach because we all, as players, and you know, BT and Salt, you know this when you play sports, we activate and we function in to the fullest potential when we're playing free and we're not playing out of fear. You know, coaches who yell and scream and shame, even as adults, I mean, even as adults, these guys are fathers and they have kids. Even as adults, no one likes to be shamed. and no one likes to play out of fear. If you don't dump that puck in next time, you're going to be sitting the rest of the bench. I mean, how many times have we heard it? I had coaches tell me that throughout my entire career. And all that does is just instill fear in players. Well, now Craig Berube, to me, has really taken a step back and has just let these players be themselves, right? And when you give them that and they can play free, and then and this goes down to youth sports as well. As a coach, when you just allow your player, your child, whoever it is, just to be who they are, then they can play free. And when they play free, that's when they're just going to blow the roof off because they can just go out there and know they can make mistakes and everything's still going to be okay. So I think it's a combination of the great coaching of Craig Berube, but also Jordan Kyrou at this point. He's just not afraid to make an awesome play, and boy, he's made some this year.
Joey, is that typical for a young player, though? I feel like this is pretty early in Jordan Kyrou's career where, to your point, a young player doesn't fear making the mistake.
Yeah, I think it is, but I think that it's also he's made such spectacular plays where this coach is like, holy smokes, I have seen enough out of this kid where we just want to see more of it. You know, the last thing you ever want to do is let this or you know give the message that this kid needs to pull back. You just want to kind of let him go. He's like a wild horse, right? He's not like a racehorse where you got to put reins on him and steer him. This kid's a wild horse, and wherever he's going to go, he's going to do something productive. Yeah, he's going to make mistakes, and there's going to be hiccups in the road. But to me, he really is truly that wild horse where you just got to give him the puck and just let him just go do his thing. It's almost to the point where the kids we're seeing now with Robert Thomas and Jordan Kyrou, they're kind of coaches' dreams because you don't really need to coach him at all. You know, you hardly need to coach him one bit. I mean, Evgeny Malkin was like this in Pittsburgh. Sid kind of needed to be coached. You know, he liked to have that support. You know, what are we doing? Okay, and he'd give his input for sure. And then Gino was Russian, and he acted like he couldn't speak English, but he could speak English, but he acted like he couldn't because he didn't want to hear from the coach because he just wanted to wind it up. If we were doing a breakout where everyone needed to come back and come back as a group, he'd be in the neutral zone doing his own thing, and he'd come back and swear in Russian, and the coach just let him be. But eventually, by the third period, you look at the scoreboard, he's got 2 goals and an assist. So the coaches kind of learned just to let him go, and I think that's something that Jordan Kyrou is really starting to kind of make of himself, where the coaches are kind of like, hey, this is kind of what we're doing. But kind of go out there and do your thing, and because your thing seems to be working better than our thing, and you're helping us win, so keep at it, kid.
Great stuff, Joey. Appreciate it. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you again next week.
All right, boys. Anytime. Have a great weekend.